Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Taoiseach has offered the services of Irish peacekeepers to Ukraine in the event of a peace deal being reached. The HSE has confirmed children's respite services are still not being provided at Ballymacool Respite House in Letterkenny, but they hope to have them restored before the end of next month. The Taoiseach brands the opposition utterly childish after they withdraw from Dáil voting pairs, and the Stormont executive agrees its long-awaited programme for government. We'll have a full report. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the Taoiseach offering the services of Irish peacekeepers to Ukraine in the event of a peace deal. Micheál Martin met with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Shannon this afternoon. He stopped over while en route to the US for a meeting tomorrow with Donald Trump. Speaking after the meeting, Mr. Martin said they discussed what support Ireland could offer in the future.
Everything will depend on how things unfold. I made him aware that Ireland is open to helping in any way we possibly can, including in a peacekeeping role. But as he said, there's time for that yet, but he was appreciative of that. But obviously a lot will be determined by the nature of agreements if they happen.
The HSE has confirmed that children's respite services are still not being provided at Ballymacool House in Letterkenny, but they hope to have them restored before the end of next month. The site offers respite for up to 5 people with disabilities on any given night, with services provided on alternate weeks to adults and children. With more, here's Bella Finn.
The HSE says respite services were cancelled on the 14th of this month due to the emergency admission of an adult service user who required single occupancy accommodation and access to specialist disability services at that time. Since then, the HSE says respite services have been partially restored for adults who use the service. However, as adults and children are not allowed to attend at the same time, children's respite services have not yet been restored. The HSE says it's working towards a resolution to the emergency situation that has arisen and plans to have full restoration of respite services for adults and children on alternate weeks in Ballymacool Respite House within the next 3 weeks.
The Taoiseach has branded the opposition utterly childish after they withdrew from Dáil voting pairs. The procedure would normally see a member of the opposition abstain from a vote if a government minister has urgent business to attend to or is unwell. It was the latest twist in the speaking rights row after the government used its majority to vote for proposals to create additional slots for backbenchers or so-called unaligned TDs. Taoiseach Simon Harris says the government wants to get on with the job, hitting out at the opposition's decision to withdraw from pairs.
What you have done in opposition today is utterly childish, because the idea that at a time when it has never been more important for government ministers to go abroad and represent this country on trade talks, on tariff talks, on Ukraine, on the Middle East, on issues you say you care about, what have you decided to do? Block the pairs so people can't travel. Shame on you.
Well, Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin says he hopes that Taoiseach and Taoiseach will see sense in this ongoing row over speaking time. Deputy McLaughlin, who is the Sinn Féin chief whip in the Dáil, is seeking an urgent meeting with both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris.
We need a meeting of Micheál Martin and Simon Harris with the leaders of the opposition. Urgent, an urgent meeting. The people at home want everybody to get on with their work. Do your damn job. But we cannot allow a situation where somebody like Michael Lowry could stand up and pretend that he's the opposition and make an absolute mockery of our job, our responsibility. We're not going to stand for it and we're going to fight this. But hopefully Micheál Martin and Simon Harris will see sense and do what's right.
The Stormont executive has agreed the long-awaited programme for government. The document includes 9 priorities that Stormont will tackle over the next 2 years. With more, here's James Gould.
It's been 10 years since we actually last had one of these programmes. But through collapse and restoration, this time there is a plan for change. But with a reduced mandate, I asked Deputy First Minister Emma Little-Pengelly, do they have time?
Yes, it's only a number of years and it does take time. We are not naive. We know that it will take time to achieve everything that we have set out. But what we can do is to make a very strong start on that, real and tangible progress.
The full programme will be published in the Assembly on Monday.
The North's economy minister says land necessary to drive forward the expansion of Ulster University's Derry campus has now been acquired by her department and the university. During a visit to the McGee campus today, Dr. Cliva Archibald announced the purchase of the Timber Quay office block. It follows the recent acquisition of sites along Queen's Quay. She said the acquisition of the Timber Quay building will allow Ulster University to accommodate 375 new students in the next academic year. And this purchase, along with the additional lands secured on Queen's Quay, will help UU reach 10,000 students at McGee by 2032. Donegal Sports Partnership has been allocated just over €437,000 under the 2025 core funding for sport programme. The allocation is part of a national €12 million package that will be shared among the country's 29 local sports partnerships. Junior Minister Charlie McConnellogue says this allocation will help to ensure that the tremendous work being done by the team at Donegal Sports Partnership continues right across communities in Donegal. A South Donegal Dáil deputy is urging the government to put pressure on telecommunications companies to ensure that all those who lost mobile, landline and broadband coverage during Storm Éowyn have it restored as quickly as possible. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has confirmed that almost 6 weeks on, a comprehensive review of the national response to Storm Éowyn is underway. He says how communication was affected is central to that review. Deputy Frank Fian told the Dáil there appears to be no urgency to ensure that the most vulnerable in society are reconnected.
There's still a huge amount of people living in rural parts of my constituency and in the northwest with neither broadband, landline or mobile phone network. And there seems to be absolutely no urgency on behalf of the providers to rectify matters. And there are elderly people living on their own with emergency contact buttons that do not work. They cannot contact friends, neighbours or relations. And Taoiseach, I really need that we need to personally intervene alongside the Minister of Communications to these service providers to fulfil their obligations to the people and restore the services that they really need to bring in outside assistance like the ESB network state and to deal this without delay.
Thank you, Deputy Taoiseach.
Yes, I would agree 100%, Deputy, and every effort has been made to restore services by the various state agencies. I've met with most of them now. Uisce Éireann, with ESB Networks, AirGrid and so on, to get power restored as quickly as possible, and also in terms of communication network. And also then, more than that, then to invest in the areas in terms of the social and human networks that were so indispensable to people during this storm. A lot of the investment in sporting facilities in local community groups has actually proved very effective, and many of those facilities were used by communities during Storm Éowyn, and therefore we think we can support them more.
Thank you, Taoiseach.
And I think there's going to be a targeted approach to maybe institutionalising a bit more that social network.
And the Nishon councillor is criticising the speed at which coastal erosion is being tackled in the county. The OPW is developing a national monitoring programme to study the impact of coastal erosion along the Irish coast. It's hoped that will be complete within the next number of years. But Councillor Martin McDermott says it's moving at a snail's pace despite warnings for years that coastal erosion is affecting the Donegal coastline. Binban is part of an initial pilot study that's currently underway. But Councillor McDermott says that was surveyed nearly 10 years ago and risks have already been identified there. He says the OPW doesn't really seem to have any interest in addressing this growing problem.
It clearly shows me that there's no understanding within the OPW in relation to the amount of coastal erosion that's happening. They have no care for what is actually happening to places like Lag, places like Kildaff, places like Ballyluffin Golf Club. And that whole North and Ashone coast that has been ate away every day. We talk about environment, we talk about looking after the environment, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, a lot of these organisations just turn their back. You know, the council doesn't take responsibility for coastal erosion. The OPW clearly doesn't take responsibility for coastal erosion. And then we have the National Parks and Wildlife who put every obstacle in place that will stop you doing anything. I think all those organisations need to take a good long look at themselves and ask themselves, are they really interested in saving, you know, what they say is natural resources around our coastline? Because I don't think they are, don't.
Binban, we're told, is being included in a pilot programme and will be done before the major national project kicks into action in the next 18 months to 2 years. Is that any comfort?
We already done a survey on that area from Binban round to the Isle of Dough, taking in Lag. You know, that was done back in 2016. There was 80,000 spent on a survey that was done that came back to tell us, you know, we're not going to do nothing. We're just going to let it happen. And over the next 20 to 30 years, the dunes will be gone. The next 50 years, there's quite a likelihood that the water will be in as far as Lag Chapel. You know, that was the answer they came back with. So I'm not so sure that I would be take that on board too much, that they're really interested in doing that, because, you know, up to now, they haven't proven that they have any interest in this.
Councillor Martin McDermott. 100% Redress councillor says she fears history is about to repeat itself with the new Housing Minister, James Brown. Yesterday, Minister Brown met with a campaign group representing the owners of defective apartments. During that meeting, he committed to ensure a full remediation scheme would be up and running as quickly as possible. Conversely, Councillor Beard says she's made numerous representations with Minister Brown seeking a meeting, but hasn't even received a response. Thornishta Simon Harris last year committed to carrying out a full review of the defective concrete block scheme within 6 months of the formation of a new government. But Councillor Beard says if that's to happen and to be effective, the government must first listen to the people at the coalface.
At the end of the day, we have a crisis here, and we have a new minister in place now. I had hoped that Minister Brown would be different and recognise the urgency of the situation that we have ongoing here in Donegal. And I suppose show a willingness to listen to those on the ground. Now, I have written to the Minister, I've left messages, I've made every single effort to engage with him to set up a meeting, but unfortunately no response at all. Sadly, it feels like history is repeating itself, just like the previous Minister, Dara Breen. He consistently ignored as well. But there needs to be meaningful engagement with ourselves. We are dealing with people all the time, every day of the week. The new minister, I believe, must be brought up to speed on what's happening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the Donegal GAA Dynamo range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We'll start with rugby. Cian Healy, Peter O'Mahony and Conor Murray will all retire from international rugby at the end of this season's Guinness Six Nations. Leinster's Healy and Munster's O'Mahony will also retire from club rugby, but Murray will pursue a playing opportunity abroad following the conclusion of his Munster contract in July. Ireland assistant coach Paul O'Connell says it's not just their depth of experience that is so valuable to the current international setup.
I think one of the big things they give us at the moment is how much they enjoy it. It's a nice thing when you're a young player and you see an old player and how much fun he has when he's in camp. You know, as an ex-player even, it's kind of nice to see that they love it maybe as much as you did as well.
All three players are Test Centurions in the green shirt and were integral members of Ireland's Grand Slam wins in 2018 and 2023. Otaig Furlong has returned to Leinster from the Ireland camp and to continue his recovery from a calf injury. The prop hasn't featured in this season's Six Nations, but could come into contention for the last two matches against France and Italy. Caelan Doris and Ronan Kelleher both trained today after missing the win over Wales last weekend. In soccer, St Union's College have been beaten in the FAI Schools Dr Tony O'Neill Senior National Cup semi-final for large schools. The Letterkenny School lost out to Blackrock College at Oriel Park in Dundalk this afternoon. After the sides finished 0-0 after extra time, it was the Dublin side who prevailed 4-1 on penalties. Elsewhere, there was success for Colas de Aile in the Ulster Schools GA Ward Cup final earlier. Colas de Aile were crowned champions after a 2-7-1-8 win over St Mogues of Bonboy. Well, Ruud van Nistelrooy insists he is committed to his role as Leicester City manager despite the threat of relegation from the English Premier League. They head to play West Ham tonight, having lost 10 out of their last 11 games. With his side sitting second from bottom in the table and 5 points adrift from safety, van Nistelrooy says he's up for the battle ahead.
Life is about climbing mountains, and mountains are there to be climbed. And that challenge I take when I'm on that process, which I am, together with the team and everybody involved, we'll keep climbing. We drop sometimes, we slip sometimes on the mountain, but we get up and start again.
In Gaelic Games, All-Ireland hurling champions Clare have suffered a major injury blow, with Shane O'Donnell ruled out for the rest of the season. The reigning hurler of the year has undergone shoulder surgery and won't return to action until the end of the year. In golf, play is underway on day one of the Cognizant Classic on the PGA Tour. Jake Knapp is the early leader in Florida on 9-under. Seamus Power and Shane Lowry both tee off inside the next hour. Leon Maguire is 3-over par after an opening round of 75 at the HSBC Women's World Championship in Singapore. That leaves the Cavan native well adrift of the leader Kim A. Lim, who is 4-under par. In darts, it is week 4 of the Premier League in Exeter tonight. World champion Luke Littler takes on Stephen Bunting, while last week's Dublin champion Gerwyn Price takes on 2024 world champion Luke Humphreys. In horse racing, the opening race of next month's Cheltenham Festival has been renamed in honour of the late Michael O'Sullivan. The 24-year-old passed away earlier this month after a fall during a race at Thurles on February 6th. The Michael O'Sullivan Supreme Novices Hurdle will be the curtain raiser at the festival, which gets underway on March 11th. Finally, tonight on The Score, former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan looks ahead to this week's games for Finn Harps and Derry City. 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn previews Donegal's next assignment in the National Football League against Derry. We'll speak with rally men Aaron Johnson and Eamon Kelly about their recent podiums in Sweden. And Donegal will look for All-Ireland glory this weekend at the All-Ireland Darts Championship in Kerry. We'll be hearing from Captain Cartha Boyle. That is all coming up between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it's 19 and a half minutes past 5. Time now for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, firstly, a reminder that there's a Chagas Spring Tillage Seminar this evening at 8 o'clock in on Greenan Hotel in Burt. This will be of particular interest for tillage farmers planning for the season ahead. The seminar will focus on key topics to help improve farm efficiency and profitability, including spring crop rotation. That's essentially balancing the financial returns, nutrient management and variety selection, nutrient planning, ensuring allowed fertilizer purchases don't exceed purchases on the Department Fertilizer Database, cost control, assessing crop establishment costs and using on-farm trials to gather actionable insights, and agronomy updates, so that's managing forward crops, tackling grass weeds and preventing BYDV. So get the tools and advice you need to make an informed decision this spring. That seminar starting at 8 o'clock. Well, a dark shadow was cast over Donegal earlier this week following the tragic accident on Monday that claimed the life of well-known Newton Cunningham farmer John Rulston. His funeral will leave from his family home tomorrow at 12:30 for 1 o'clock service of Thanksgiving in Newton Cunningham Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Well, many tributes have been paid to the popular farmer, including that of Donegal IFA County Chairman Joe Sweeney.
The news broke on Monday evening of John's death, and actually I got calls from as far away as Wexford and Galway of people that were known of John, just inquiring as to, was it John? Because he was so well known. He was so well known in all farming circles throughout the county, and it has had a ripple effect all over from the news broke. John, I had the pleasure of knowing him this last number of years, and every time you went there, John would take time to talk to you. It didn't matter what he was doing, he would chat, he would talk, and it didn't matter. He would work on at the other end to get the job, his own jobs done, but he always took time for people. John was hugely popular, a great worker, great at managing and thinking what was the next job. That was he was the main man at that, in the farm business that he was running. And what a, you know, it's just a sad day for the county. It's a sad day because, you know, accidents do happen, but it was just so unfortunate, and it's just one of them freak accidents. You can't do anything about it.
And no doubt there'll be a big farming representation at his funeral, which is taking place tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd expect a big funeral tomorrow, to be honest, because that whole family is well known throughout the county. His brother Keith was very much involved in agriculture and farming as well, and he represented IFA for his term as a county chairman back in the mid-noughties. So they're well known, well respected, a great family, and they'll certainly there'll be a crowd tomorrow there from all farming circles all over.
And that was the Donegal IFA County Chairman Joe Sweeney. The AGM of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA had been scheduled to take place last night, but was postponed as a mark of respect following that tragic accident. And the AGM has been provisionally refixed for March the 12th. Rewetting proposals are very much in the news again this week, and there could be big implications for some Donegal farmers. Adam Woods is Deputy Editor and Beef Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he has the very latest. Adam, we're going to see some fast tracking taking place.
Yeah, front page story this week, Chris, 80,000 hectares of Ireland's, you know, drained peatland going to go back to re-wetting, re-wetting the drained land, lower stocking rates, fertiliser cuts, making existing drains shallower are among the measures, you know, described under this, reduced management intensity, they're calling it. So this is a result of a meeting. The story is a result of a meeting last Thursday where EPA, NWPS, National Parks and Wildlife Service and Chagas met to discuss how Ireland could meet the target of that 80,000 hectares of reduced management intensity by 2030. But it's very frustrating from a farmer point of view, even farming in the northwest, myself and Cavan, very frustrating to see no farmers around that table, Chris, in terms of farm organisations. We're the people, you know, the farmers of Donegal and all the rest of those counties in the west, they're the farmers that are going to be affected by this. And yet from the very outset, here we have people, you know, going behind farmers' backs, discussing how we meet this target, when farmers, the people on the ground that are going to be tasked with doing this, are going to be affected by this, are left out of the conversation. I think that's the big one here in terms of, you know, the powers that be just want to close the gate when we head to the northwest and we'll say flood us out, and that's not fair from a farmer point of view. We should be involved in those discussions. Farmers should be involved in those discussions. And they talk about reduced management intensity, but anybody farming on peat soils or drained peat soils will know the struggle that's associated with that. And, you know, if you raise the water table on that soil, it's effectively closing the gate. That you're not able to go in there with machinery. Grazing will be difficult. So it's effectively shutting the gate on that. And look, they talk about it being voluntary, but again, if they throw money at this, they will get farmers to do this. And then the whole question about what if I choose to go this route, and what about my neighbour then? If I raise the water table on my land, what happens to my neighbour's land in terms of, does that flood then as well? So you have a whole host of questions there and not a lot of answers, to be honest. And, you know, last week we had those GAEC 2 proposals of, restricting drainage on peat soils as well. And the department came out and said, oh, look, this is nothing to worry about here. You'll still be able to drain soils. And yet this week we see, you know, a big push to re-wet land. So it seems to be double speak coming from them.
And is it likely that there are going to be lump sums offered to farmers?
Yeah, well, so this document that we got access to, it says that, you know, re-wetting such a large area will incur significant capital costs, they say. But they also said, which is very surprising, they warned that public funding cannot deliver the target in full. So where else does that funding come from? If it doesn't come from, we'll say, the public purse as regards recompensating farmers for not being able to farm their land because government policy is to re-wet this land, well, that has to be public money. It has to be EU money. I don't care where it comes. It shouldn't come from farmers' pockets in terms of what they have to do there. In terms of the capital cost of the actual physical re-wetting. But then there's the lost income forgone, basically forever. And again, I'll come back to the succession issue. We talked about this many times in terms of the next generation of farmers that are coming along. If they see their fathers or mothers closing the gate and saying, we're re-wetting this parcel of land, we're not doing anything with it, what does that say to the next generation in terms of farming that land? It says, this is no use. We're shutting the gate here. We don't want to produce anything off this land. It's being re-wet. But they're not going to be, you know, instill a love for livestock or a love for farming into those next generation. And then we talk about a succession problem. But how would we be any other way when this is what we're doing with our land?
Well, we will watch this space with interest. Finally, Adam, just before you go, on a positive note, the beef trade continuing to kick on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to come a week where I'm going to have a different message, but at the moment it's really, really positive. 6.65, their base price for heifer, 6.55 for bullocks. You know, flat prices of 7.35 there this week. I'm hearing UK still up a euro ahead of us. So there's nothing on the horizon at the moment. Live export's going really well. We actually got news this week of a new ferry company, the Brittany Ferries. They're going to start to export livestock, which they haven't done in the past. Such is the demand for slots for roll-on, roll-off lorries at the moment. So, yeah, it's all very positive in terms of marsh trade and beef trade, and look, as long may that continue.
And that was Adam Woods, Deputy Editor and Beef Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, the Minister of State for Forestry, Horticulture and Farm Safety, Michael Healy-Ray, has reaffirmed his commitment to supporting forest owners in the wake of the significant recent storm damage as the Windblow Task Force completed its third meeting. The task force has confirmed that estimates show that nearly 24,000 hectares of forest suffered windblow damage, more than twice the annual cut, and that has prompted discussions on increasing harvesting capacity and mobilising resources, including potential overseas support. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. If you want to contact the programme, you can email me at farmingdonegal@gmail.com. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Looking at the weather forecast, mainly dry this evening with clear spells and isolated showers in a light to moderate westerly breeze. It'll be largely dry tonight with long clear spells, just the odd passing shower, frost and some icy patches forming overnight as temperatures fall to between -3 and +2 degrees Celsius. Some patchy mist and fog will develop in light and variable winds. Any frost, ice, mist and fog will clear tomorrow morning. The rest of Friday will be largely dry with sunny spells. Hazy later in the afternoon with cloud increasing from the west, highs of 7 to 10 degrees Celsius. Light to moderate southerly winds freshening near western coasts. And just to let you know, the Donegal County Council will be gritting roads from 6 o'clock this evening. A full list of the roads being gritted available on our website, highlandradio.com. A brief look at the closing headlines. The Taoiseach has offered the services of Irish peacekeepers to Ukraine in the event of a peace deal. Micheál Martin met with Volodymyr Zelensky. He stopped off in Shannon this afternoon en route to the US to meet President Donald Trump. The HSE has confirmed that children's respite services are still not being provided at Ballymacool House in Letterkenny, but they hope to have them restored before the end of next month. And the Stormont executive has agreed the long-awaited programme for government. The document outlines 9 priorities that Stormont will tackle over the next 2 years. Check all of today's news on our website, highlandradio.com. We're back with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The eviction notices for this Wednesday evening, the 27th of February. The death has taken place of Ernie Sterrett, Ardview, Killyclug, Letterkenny. Ernie's remains will be resting at his late home until 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Service of thanksgiving at his late residence on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in Gortley Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to Medical 3, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Charlie McLafferty, funeral director. The death has taken place of Jimmy Friel, Losset, Church Hill. Jimmy's remains will repose at his late residence until 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning for Requiem Mass in St. Columbkill's Church, Glendowen at 11 o'clock. Followed by interment in Garton Cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Charlie McLafferty, funeral directors. The death has occurred of Anne Kinsella, Church Road, Killybegs. Remains en route to St. Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, for rosary at 6 o'clock. Funeral mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The Mass will be streamed on mcnmedia.live. The death has occurred of Seamus O'Donnell, apartment 16, St. Columba's Grove, Lifford. Reposing at St. Columba's Grove, Lifford until 11 o'clock tonight. Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Home private, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Richard O'Donnell, 2 School Terrace, Glebe, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving Quigley's funeral home this evening at 6 o'clock, going to St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.